The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, the Isle of Man's main Net Zero Progress website.
Faster May, good afternoon. Thanks for dropping by for Man in Line, 7 minutes after midday. Until one today. Open line on 66 13 68. Yesterday, interesting to talk to GrowLab Organics Chief Exec and Scientific Officer Alex Frey and Charlie Price about what's going to happen. I mean, they didn't mince their words. The Isle of Man, apparently, according to them, is years behind. And we'll see what happens. And there's an extra sitting of Timbal that's been announced. Chief Ministers have written to the President of Timbal to ask for the court to be recalled on the 13th of September. It's going to be happening. Timbal doesn't normally sit in September because of the summer recess, but because of measures that are being brought forward to help mitigate the cost of living problems that are coming down the line, it'll be it. And of course, you'll be able to hear that on AM 1368. Lots to talk about. First of all, Mark's with us. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Andy, how you doing, fella?
Fine, thank you.
I just had a most astonishing and quite honestly sinister experience in Tesco's car park. I was buying a few bits and pieces, walking back to the car, and I saw a traffic warden in the car park, and he was looking at people's windscreens. So I said to him, you know, what exactly were you doing? And he said he was checking people's road taxes. Now, the car park at Tesco's is owned by National Car Parks, so it's a private car park. He has got absolutely zero authority to be there.
How weird. I don't think I've ever seen anyone like that in a private car park.
Exactly. And the thing is, when I challenged him about it, I said to him, you can see that there are signs here saying that it's owned by National Car Parks. He just looked at me and said, I can't see any signs. And I said to him, look, I said to him, who do you work for? And he refused to tell me. And then I said, well, what's your name and what's your badge number? And he just told me, I said, I'm not telling you my name. He said, but my badge number's T1. And a lady who was sat in the car right next to where I was having a discussion with him, this lady turned around and says, if you're a public figure, you need to tell him your name. And he refused. And he just said to me, get back in your car and go away. And I said to him, look, I said, all you are is over-officious and you're throwing your weight around. And he then retorted with a comment about me being overweight.
There's nothing about that that's right.
There's nothing at all about it. I don't know whether he's employed by the DOI or whether he's employed by G4S, but whoever he's employed by, they have got no authority and they cannot go onto a car park that's privately owned and check people's vehicles. They've got no authority to do that.
And are you certain he was a public figure? He wasn't anybody that Tesco had hired.
No. He was dressed all in black. He had the radio. He had the stab vest with traffic warden on the back of it. And I asked him several times for his name, his badge number, and who he worked for, and he just refused.
I just wonder if he'd spotted out of date tax this. That's private land. It's not a public road.
The thing is, Andy, if he was walking along the promenade, now the promenade's a public road, and he saw a tax disc that was out of date, he would have to get the police down to do something about that, because the authority he has is literally just to put a ticket on who've run out of time. He's got no authority to do anything else. But to actually go into a private car park and tell people, because he actually did say to one lady, your tax will be run out in about a month's time. And then she said to him, yes, I'm aware of that. And that's when I got involved, because I said to this lady, he can't talk to you like that because he's got no authority. And when we finished talking, me and this lady, he vanished. So between the two of us, I think he knew he was doing wrong. And the thing is, Andy, the thing is, how many people has this guy bumped into and basically threatened by saying, if you don't get your tax sorted, you're going to go to court? There could be a lot of people out there now panicking because of this fella.
And the other point is, telling somebody that their tax is nearly out of date is neither here nor there.
Exactly. But to do it on private land, because it is owned by the National Car Parks, and we all know that they don't do anything, because it's just to them, it's just a lump of land that they can sell on later. But even if Tesco's had said to the Isle of Man government, can you send somebody down, he still hasn't got an authority because the National Car Parks own the land. It's got nothing to do with Tesco's, it's got nothing to do with the police, and it's got nothing to do with traffic wardens. So I'd like to know, if anybody from the government's listening, and we all know they do, surreptitiously, even though they admit they say on the QC, they say, oh, we didn't listen to the Man and Line, we never listened to that, it's just gossip. People in the government do regularly listen to your programme, and so they should, because that's how they know what's going on. I'd like someone to come on from the Isle of Man government who employed traffic wardens and actually say why and who told him to go there.
Okay, all right, Mark. Well, thanks for raising that today, and
I've never
heard of that before. So,
well, now you have.
All right, thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot, mate.
All right, good to talk to you. Have you ever heard of that before? Traffic warden, parking controllers, they used to be going onto private land, telling people about road tax. I wonder if he went to that that mobile home that's in the corner of the Tesco car park. Seems to have been there for ages and ages. It's one of my favourite vehicles in the Tesco car park. Jerry's on now. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Andy. Andy, they're doing it in M&S. I was there yesterday and the guy was walking around checking all the road tax because I asked him, what are you doing? And he said, I'm checking your road tax. I said, well, you're not allowed to. You're a traffic warden.
Who owns the car park there? Is that Douglas Borough Council or who is it?
It's Douglas Borough Council.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them mooching around in there in the past, and I suppose if it's a municipal car park, but in terms of reminding people about car tax, no, I've never spotted that before. And when was this, Jerry?
That was yesterday at 2 o'clock. Because I watched him go down each side, every one of them, he was checking the road tax. Because I asked him, what is he doing? And he said, I'm checking your road tax. I said, you're not allowed to. And he just carried on checking them all. I know he can give you a ticket if your time is up. But that's as much as I know you can do in these private car parks.
Okay, all right.
But they're doing it anyway.
Thanks, Jerry.
They're doing it in M&S.
All right, good to hear from you. Thanks for that. Maybe they're on a revenue drive. Maybe they got to hit a target or two. Have you ever heard of that? If you got any more to report like that, it would be interesting to know if that is the case. Text on 166177, email studio, manxradio.com, call 66 1368. Anything to report on that? Yes, there is going to be an extra sitting of Timwald. Lawrence Skelly confirmed that Timwald will sit at 10:30, Tuesday 13th of September. The purpose is to discuss the cost of living crisis and the government's outline response to that. We wait and see for Tuesday, 13th of September. Howard's on now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Randy. I've just talked to the other Howard there. In Tesco, there's a large notice on one of, I think it's one of the lampposts, fairly, well, it's high enough up to read above the tops of the cars, etc. And it does state that you have a time limit within there. Although I don't know how it's carried out. I have seen a couple, and it's very rarely, traffic controllers, not the ones employed by the government, but this is operated privately, and the notice states that. And as that chap that was on first said, it's private land, so it's not the government or anybody else that would be able to chase you. It would be Tesco or this company that to operate the parking facilities. They would have to take you to court. And sometimes they don't even bother because it's not worth the hassle. But I have seen traffic wardens, well, they don't call them that, they're traffic controllers, and I believe they are employed on behalf of the government by G4S. And I've seen them up around the Anaker area putting fixed penalty notices on cars that are on parking lots. And they said their road tax is out of date. Now, I agree with that. If I got to pay road tax, so should they. They shouldn't be getting away with it. Because if you haven't got road tax, you obviously haven't got insurance. But I asked them one day, as this was a designated parking lot, what jurisdiction do they have? And the fellow said, I don't know. He said, I'll have to make inquiries. But when he did, they just said, I'll book them anyway. And that was the attitude. They put a fixed penalty notice on. So the majority of the parking controllers are pretty good. You might get the odd jobs with who loves his job. And I know one chap that was there, he got paid off because he never gave enough tickets out. And it seems funny, but that is what happened to the man. He was able to speak to people and properly and let them know what their position was, and that was like a warning, just a fair warning, and they could make up their own minds whether they want to carry on breaking the law or move on. And the majority, I should imagine, moved on.
And you say, I mean, it really is a matter of attitude of how, you know, the person approaches their job. I mean, it's not their job to give good news if they're going to nick somebody for parking in the wrong place.
No.
But they,
no.
There are ways of doing things.
There certainly is. And some people, well, there's an old saying there, you give a fella a cap, he thinks he rules the world. But some of the earlier wardens, as they used to be called, were off that ilk, and they went round and they could try and book as many as they can. But I don't know about the car park down there being owned by National Car Parks. It may well be, I don't know. But there is a huge, big notice on one, maybe several of the lampposts down there stating that you have, I think it's two, maybe three at the best parking hours. And after that, you're liable to be prosecuted.
Okay.
And, you know, that is fair warning because that is private property. And Tesco, you may remember, were going around putting stickers on the cars. And they had to stop in case the sticker damaged the car.
Great.
Yeah. But being private land, that was originally going to be the co-op. But they came out of it, Tesco took it. So I don't know who actually owns that land. If you remember not so very long ago, they wanted to double the size of the structure.
Oh, they wanted to go over the other side by where the old tip used to be, didn't they?
They wanted to double the size. They put an extra story on it.
Yeah, but I think there was going to be. I think there was going to be a first floor bridge over to the other side. Do you remember where the Douglas tip used to be on that side?
Douglas Tip, I don't remember.
Oh,
remember
sorry, the wood yards, sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, essentially that's where it is now, but you're talking about the Douglas Steam Sawmills.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's Dandara, so...
Which is a car park.
It is a car park, but this is another thing, are these car parks getting charged business rates? But that's all part of the Dandara. That used to be the old abattoir, etc., down there as well.
Okay, all right, Howard, thanks for calling today. We appreciate that. Want to go to Pam now, who's with us. Hi, Pam.
Oh, hi. Yeah, the mystery deepens. Now, I don't know whether I've got this right, because I'm not sure where Chester Street car park fits in on this. But I didn't think anything of it at the time, but I was in Chester Street car park on Sunday, and they just have a flat rate fee on a Sunday. You can go in and just pay your money and you can stay as long as you like. And I was just, certainly me tax disc is well in date, but this fellow who looked like a traffic warden was wandering up and down with a little pad in his hand and a cap on his head. And I thought, oh, you know, perhaps I better just make sure that I put my ticket up so that he is looking at it. He knows what time I've come at. And so that's what I did. I just went and paid me ticket and stuck it on the windscreen, and that was it. But it's just now, after hearing these other two experiences, I mean, what is going on?
Chester Street car park is owned by the government, though, I think, Pat, so I think they have got a right to be in there.
Ah, I was saying, first time ever I've seen a traffic warden, in inverted commas, in Chester Street. Certainly nobody in Tesco. But you know, it was sort of marrying the two things together. It's sort of, it's, you know, I started ringing. I heard bells ringing in my head then, you know. So what was going on Sunday?
How's your car tax?
And my car is taxed.
Good. Okay. Yes. We can all sleep safely. Thanks, Pam.
That's right. Okay, bye-bye.
Good to talk to you. Well, government car parks, they own Chester Street, which is, funnily enough, in Market Street in Douglas. Drumgold Street is there. That's the one above Marks and Spencer in Douglas. So Drumgold Street is owned by the government. I think the Tongue, alongside the Yacht Club in Douglas, the Tongue car park is government. And obviously Parade Street East car park, which is the one next to the Steam Packet. The swing bridge on the quay, so Parade Street's there as well. So you would imagine that parking controllers, attendants are permitted to be in there, but on private land, we have to have the permission of the landowner, and obviously if you park without road tax on private land, you're not on the public highway, so you're not committing an offence, and as long as the vehicle isn't used, that's that situation. We were talking about MGP. I've got loads of messages regarding this, so let's just get to some of those messages in the meantime. Just regarding MGP, says 008 texter, I think by cutting the number of races, they're limiting the number of up-and-coming riders. Now, that's going to affect TT in the future, because there is a kind of assembly line, if you like, with the MGP leading into TT. Perhaps that's their idea, says Roz, a retired marshal of 35 years. Are they wanting to limit the number of up-and-coming riders? A text in from G just says, how does your caller think the car's got to Tesco car park? If the car didn't have a disc, he could ring the police as soon as they went on the road. The road is public, though, but that land is private. Parking and traffic controllers have been checking on cars in ShopRite car park for months, says Kath. Which ShopRite is that, Kath? But the thing is, says John, it's important to note, 557 John, there are hundreds of UK-registered cars on the Isle of Man with no tax disc, as they don't require them. There is certainly an awful lot of lag at the moment with getting cars through the test. And a caller just dropped a note in, just said it's not G4S who do the wardens anymore. Apparently, he said it's an Irish company that does them. Is that so? Do you know much about that? I'm glad the car's actually being taxed, says John in Farm Hill. Surely they should be checked. I got a ticket from a traffic warden saying failure to display a tax disc. Mine was out by 2 weeks, but I was displaying one. I thought it was the following month. Cost me £60 in a ticket. Yes, failure to display an in-date tax disc, I think this is. Again, somebody mentioning that Drumgold Street is owned by the government, Department of Infrastructure, as well. I got a ticket from a traffic warden a week or two ago on the prom because my offside front wheel was over the white line of the bay. Yet a long-wheeled Ford Transit van parked four vehicles down was parked with its rear wheels actually on the pavement and blocking three-quarters of the footpath behind. The warden actually walked past the vehicle and did nothing. I'm appealing for the parking fines within the government, says Garth. Not really fair, is it? And I thought they weren't supposed to be parking long-wheel-based vehicles on the prom. Texter 780 says, yes, that chap was around M&S on Monday afternoon. And also traffic warden at ShopRite Port Erin last week was checking tax this. That motorhome that parks in Tesco is there 3 days a week while the owners work at Tesco. How do I know? Says Keith, it's mine. And no criticism, Keith. I just think it's really quirky where that motorhome is parked right in the corner at Tesco. I've got a car just bought in England, and I've got a government examination next month. The vehicle inspection told me to put my appointment details on the dashboard to avoid a penalty notice from the traffic warden, says JT. Just saying. I'm not shocked, says 775, at the bully boy parking ticket people, but I'm appalled at the police for not pulling over bad drivers on our roads. The ones that don't have Manx plates. I was just going to report a lady driver with UK plates yesterday, but I knew it wasn't worth my time, as I don't think they'd do anything. It was a black Hyundai, by the way. She was swerving on the wrong side of the road and speeding over 40 in a 30 limit. What do the police do? Well, it may have been a UK plate, but it may have been a Manx owner. I caught a traffic warden, says Tony, inspecting my car in the old Safeways car park, Chester Street. He was looking into my car and inspecting the wheels and the bumper. Wearing all the gear. Is this racketeering, says Tony. Thanks for that. You don't need road tax to have valid insurance, but you do need valid insurance to get road tax, says PJ. A police van, which appeared to have an AMPR, automatic number plate recognition system, on the roof, was at ShopRite Onken car park this morning, perhaps checking number plates and tax, says G. Thank you for that. Lots and lots of messages regarding this, but I do want to bring up, we talked about cannabis yesterday, and I got a message in, and it was from Clive, who just said, we heard what the people from Grow Lab Organics were saying yesterday, but have we got anything from probably the most prominent GP on the island, Dr. Allenson?
I'm really confident that the Department of Health and Social Care are taking this seriously. They're moving forward. We can develop a pharmacy sector on the Isle of Man to provide for medicinal cannabis products for patients, and then we can actually hopefully expands the medical provision so that they can be seen on island by practitioners. They can be, it can be explained to them how these substances can help, and then they can access the help they need. And at the moment, with the regulations, they have to be on a specialist register. So it is a GP in the UK. There are one or two also working in the Channel Islands, and often that's an online consultation or a physical consultation with someone who's over at one of the specialist clinics. What I'd like to see is us expanding the training that we have on island so more doctors on the Isle of Man could perhaps join that specialist register and therefore provide services to residents here.
There was Dr. Allenson, Alex Allenson, MHK, talking about the fact that yesterday Charlie Price, the scientific officer, and Alex Fraser saying we're behind. And 98% of people of the public who replied to the consultation want medicinal cannabis on the Isle of Man. It's on the way. They're at the moment won't say where it's going to be because they're applying for planning permission for this facility. Of course, until they build the facility, I think they will be importing medicinal cannabis to the Isle of Man. Howard's back with us. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. I was thinking about it before and it went out of my mind, but where are the traffic wardens, traffic controllers and the police now with the vehicle registration plates that are incorrectly fitted? Last year sometime, I think it was, maybe a bit longer, the DOI done away with the need to put the hyphen on the plates, on the Isle of Man plates. They were never used in England. It was something that was peculiar to the Isle of Man. Let's say HMN hyphen 321 hyphen and a letter. They've done away with that. But now you see a myriad of vehicles going around, and I see them virtually every day with, okay, no spacing between them, but the incorrect spacing. They're saying when you come to do this, there should be a specific distance between the letters, the numbers, and the end letter. Now, can these be recognized by your AN, you know, the automatic number plate recognition?
Yeah.
Have they done away with the hyphens so that equipment coming into the island will recognize it as they would with a UK plate? You still can't put the three legs of man on. But the number, and it's increasing, and they're putting personal names or various other aspects and using their registration for that, which, in a sense, is illegal. And I've seen large numbers of them, and all over the island. And this year, I made inquiry. I was standing next to a chap getting his number plates done. Didn't say anything to him, but I said to the chap behind the counter, I said, what about the hyphens? Don't need them anymore. So he said, they've done away with it. So I looked it up on the internet and find they have done away with it. But it specifies you must have your number plates in a precise reading order.
Well, they've got the equipment. They've got this AMPR thing that's knocking around. So presumably, they'll work their way through it. I've not heard of any. I've not certainly not heard of anybody being nicked for that.
No, no. It could be one of these anomalies where they just walk past it and they don't see it. They're looking for something specific, like road tax, etc. Which I agree with them. If it's out of date, it could be a slip up. But on the other hand, I've just walked past a car that the road tax was out last June, and these wardens, or as they are, if they're English companies, then that lady who said that she was booked for, or the chapel was, for being a few inches over the white lines, that's how they work across. They are a cash cow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're certainly revenue generators now.
They
absolutely everywhere.
And that's what I'm afraid, that if this is happening and they brought a UK company in, they've got to make a profit out of it, and they're going to do it by any means possible.
Okay, all right. I would appreciate that. Thanks for calling today. It's just a few days. In fact, this Sunday, the Manx Grand Prix returns for the first time since 2019. Not everybody's a fan of the new schedule. This year's event's been cut down. It used to be a fortnight. We've now got 9 days of MGP. Fewer races, fewer racing days. Now, the first practice is on Sunday. Racing gets underway a week on Friday. Here's the chair of the Manx Motorcycle Club. This is John McBride on his reaction.
Well, mixed reviews, really. A lot of traditionalists, and I count myself as a traditionalist, are quite upset at the fact that we've lost two race days anyway. And it has reduced the number of races that we can run. But I think it's more than made up for in the quality of the entry that we've received. And, of course, we now have the classic motorcycles back under the wing of the Manx Grand Prix, where they were with classic TT for quite some time. They were introduced at the Manx Grand Prix in the mid-80s, so it's great to have them back. And we're looking forward to the event. We really are. It's very exciting.
Now, the first practice is on Sunday. The racing itself all gets underway next Friday. It culminates on the bank holiday Monday. Are you worried about the weather, having that short period for racing, just that shorter time? Are you worried about what happens if you do need to go to a contingency schedule?
Well, it's we've always been worried about the weather. It doesn't matter how long the event is. If it was still a fortnight, we'd still be worried about the weather, and it has happened in the past where we have had races cancelled. The Senior Manx Grand Prix was cancelled at one point, just impossible to hold it. Yes, but we've spoken to the clerk of the course, Gary Thompson, at length about this, and he is happy that he has enough contingency within the schedule to allow it to run. So hopefully we'll be. I know we're in the lap of the gods, but that's the way things always are. So,
and we're going to be hearing a bit later on today about marshals and what to do if you want to become a marshal. It does all get underway. First practice on Sunday. How is it looking at the moment?
For marshals? Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it's building up. I spoke to the TTMA yesterday, and they said they were hopeful everything was going to come out on top. They were a little bit short, but there's always a late signing on for the Manx Grand Prix, and a lot of people do come from the UK where they're having already signed on. So hopefully the fact that we're starting on the Sunday gives people a chance to get here, get signed on, and go for it. But if anybody does fancy marshalling, it's worth giving it a try for two or three sessions and see how you feel. There'll be no pressure. It's just a question of introducing yourself to the mountain course and marshalling on that course, because it's a great experience. You just have to experience it to appreciate it.
John McBride, chair of the Manx Motorcycle Club, on the new look, newly improved, slimmed down MGP. All the action, of course, is on AM 1368, the best biking station in the world. Thanks to the lady who called in to say, we're going to call in the Scarlet Pimpernel now. This is this traffic warden who seems to be here, there and everywhere around the Isle of Man. The Scarlet Pimpernel traffic wardens have been spotted at Noble's Hospital car park as well. How's your road tax looking? That's all I'll say to you. It's nearly the end of August. It's on its way. Get your road tax sorted out. This coming Friday is a big day. I mean, well, tomorrow is results day for A-level. And on Friday, we're going to be talking about A-levels, results, life as a student in the future, perhaps no further education, perhaps going into the world of work, what it is you do. It's a really emotional time, an upheaval, really. There's a whole miasma of emotions to navigate at this time of the year when the results come in. I just want to lay some words before you, and they are the words of one of the MHKs for Onchan, Rob Calliston. It's about students from the Isle of Man.
We are currently losing one in every two students. We've got to identify that. We've got to work out what is the core reason behind that. Is it housing? Is it skills? Is it opportunities? Because we've got enough employment opportunities. But when I was talking to someone just the other day, they're unemployed. They can't get a job on the island. And when I spoke to them, they reckon it's because employers are being over picky. Maybe employers need to take a chance.
We'll find out about that on Friday. It was a special regarding further education, A-level careers, talking to one of the big employers on the Isle of Man. But the fact that one in two students who leave the Isle of Man don't come back, so we expensively educate them in the public purse on the Isle of Man and export their skills elsewhere. They don't come back. Perhaps it's housing, perhaps it's not enough social life, not enough recreational stuff on the Isle of Man. If you've got any thoughts about that, we'd welcome them on Friday.
EPS just finished painting our house and we're delighted with the result.
Very impressed with the speed, quality and standard of work.
We would recommend EPS highly.
House looks like new.
Brilliant job from start to finish.
EPS, transforming properties island-wide with a revolutionary Protex wall covering system. Guaranteed for 10 years. Visit eps.company for details. There's a waiting list, but it'll be worth it.
A good job well done.
Thank you, EPS.
At ShopRite, a big slice of our range is continually priced to match or better other supermarkets. We call it Price Match Plus, the plus being what others simply don't match. Like ShopRite Savers, low prices, choice and value you won't get elsewhere. With brands like Sainsbury's and no need to travel miles. Plus, the difference being locally owned makes. We're loyal supporters of local food producers and businesses and benefit the Manx economy directly. ShopRite, proudly locally owned.
Discover an exciting range of day trips this August and September at Steam Packet Holidays. Take a walk on the wild side with a fabulous family day out to Chester Zoo. Enjoy a trip to Southport Flower Show for inspirational show gardens and magnificent floral displays. And for leisure experiences, shopping and much more, enjoy a day at the fantastic Trafford Centre. All Steam Packet excursions include ferry travel transfers and admission where stated. Find a great day out for everyone at steampacketholidays.com.
Welcome to the Millichaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, where you'll find fabulous reductions throughout the store, from beds and flooring to sofas, cane furniture and accessories, rugs, pictures, mirrors and even wallpapers. Plus, the friendly Millichaps team are here as always with a warm welcome and expert help and advice when needed. Don't miss the Millichaps of Ramsey Summer Sale, now on.
Creating a home where you'll love to be. Millichaps of Ramsey.
Hello, this is Howard Kane. If you're curious about what's in Spotlight, Manx Radio's arts programme every Wednesday evening, wonder no more. It's a bit like this.
It's a sense of the absurd, which I love. It sort of makes you go, ooh, what's that?
I'd always wanted to write a novel.
I'm a ghost, invisible to one and all.
You know what I see this?
Mm-hmm. Still curious? Then tune in every Wednesday at 6 or download the podcast and listen at leisure. Spotlight, here on Manx Radio, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com. Helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and a green future.
It's 19 minutes before one Wednesday afternoon on the Isle of Man, on Man in Line. Bonzo's on now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hi there. Yes, and just in case Julian and Joan are listening, no, actually, I'm not going to talk about climate issues this time. What I'm going to talk about is the Isle of Man and creative industries. I don't know if you've seen an interview that was apparently broadcast last night on ITV Granada News with John Rhys-Jones, he of the Indiana Jones fame and such like.
John Rhys-Davies.
John Rhys-Davies, yes, yeah, sorry. Do excuse me. Yep.
Yes. No, I didn't see it. What did he have to say?
Well, in the piece where he was discussing, or he was asked about the Isle of Man creative industries, he was giving his tale of woe about trying to establish a boutique, as he called it, a studio on the island, and how other people have been trying to establish sticky production facilities on the island for the past 4 or 5 years, and people have been basically banging their heads against a brick wall. The Isle of Man where you can't.
It's been tried many times. Obviously, we had a semi-thriving film industry for years and years and years. Obviously, that came and went. They tried to get a soundstage, which obviously was the one that was built at Jerby. That's now something completely different. I think we do have animation studios on the Isle of Man, but I mean, I'm trying to remember what was the at Peel, the multimedia centre at Peel was meant to be training Manx youngsters in the creative industries. And I just wonder, as you say, this phrase about getting sticky facilities where you can grow an industry. It's a tough job. I mean, is this private industry's job or is it government?
Well, it's government's job to essentially enable the conditions for private industry to do it. A lot of these people who are wanting to put sticky facilities here and people who have done, what they want isn't so much government to help as government to just get out of the way. There are issues such as freight costs, obviously on the steam packet, and issues like planning in certain respects. But otherwise, they just want to be allowed to get on and do it. And they will provide some supporting structure. Some of them will provide training. Because, of course, there are a variety of opportunities within a sort of sticky facility. And it's not just cameramen or sound people or that sort of thing. You're talking about makeup artists, you're talking about electricians, you're talking about carpenters, you're talking about caterers, transport, all sorts of things.
The main reason that the film industry succeeded was because they offered big tax breaks, I think. Sometimes the government, the film commission as it was then, used to get involved as long as, I think the rule was 40% of the primary shoot had to be done on the Isle of Man, and it was they relied on industrial tourism. The film company would come here, they'd drop a load of money on the Isle of Man because people would stay in hotels, employ taxi drivers, extras, as you say, they'd get all the food locally. But making things stick, because we got outflanked, because our enticements, if you like, the things we could offer film companies were just trumped by other people. So lots of things are now made in Yorkshire, the Yorkshire Television and Film Commission. I think that TV series George Gently, supposedly in the northeast of England, was shot in Ireland. So these are movable feasts, and I just wonder. I take your point as to how we it needs to be done. Quite how we can do it, nobody seems to have got their head around. What did John Rhys-Davies say?
Well, as he said, he'd been trying, for some years, 4 or 5 years, to set up this particular facility, and I know of someone who was trying to actually set up a rather larger facility than that, because soundstage space at this time and has been for several years now, you just can't get it. There are productions backed up, waiting to try and get facility space. And that's something that we could easily provide, but for a variety of reasons, and I think certainly one area is planning. But as I said, another area is the cost of getting equipment to and from.
Interesting. Well, we'll certainly, in fact, John Rhys-Davies, friend of the radio station anyway, so maybe we'll try and find out more and just see specifically.
Well, if you could bring him, I think, and a couple of other people on the Man in Line, for a studio discussion and phone in, I think that'd be very interesting.
Okay. All right. Appreciate that, Bonzo. Thanks for being with us today.
Yep. No, no. Bye.
All right. Good to talk to you. Just a quick word regarding visitors to the Isle of Man for the Manx Grand Prix. If you've got pals or relatives coming to the island, you are asked, Manx Care are basically asking you to make sure they've got adequate travel and health insurance in place ahead of their trip, and they must bring with them all prescription medicine that they may need during their stay. Obviously, the event starts on Sunday, 21st, finishes on Monday, 29th, bank holiday Monday. Going to be a large number of visitors. Typically on the Isle of Man during a race period, there's a substantial increase in visitors on public roads and also a corresponding increase in people being admitted to Noble's Hospital with trauma injuries or alternatively seeking support and treatment for illnesses and injuries. Now, to help visitors understand the healthcare choices, Manx Care is requesting that visitors to MGP know how to access what they need, including the Minor Illnesses and Injury Unit at Ramsay Cottage Hospital, MEDS, the Manx Emergency Doctor Service, GPs, and the network of community pharmacies. Now, if you want more information on this, you've got some people coming to stay during MGP, go to gov.im/signposting. Now, during the MGP period, the X-ray capability at Ramsay, at the Minor Illnesses and Injuries Unit, it's going to be increased to cover every day from Sunday 21st to bank holiday Monday from 9 till 5 on weekdays, 11 till 5 on weekends and public holidays. The Minor Injuries and Illnesses Unit at Ramsay Cottage Hospital is going to be open 8 till 8 every day during the period. And the Med Service, the Emergency Doctor Service, is going to be available 6 till 8, 6 p.m. to 8 a.m. Monday to Friday. And, of course, it's available 24 hours a day over weekends and public holidays. But the important thing is, if you have people coming to stay, friends and relatives, they have to ensure they have adequate travel and health insurance.
Manx Credit Union has moved.
You can now find us at Ragnall House on the corner of Peel Road and Hope Street, Douglas, where our team remain committed to providing savings and responsible loans for islanders.
We're managed by our members, meaning our only focus is making sure that you are well looked after.
Find us in our new home on Peel Road. Have a look around and speak to our friendly team.
Or find out more about Manx Credit Union online at mcu.im.
Manx Credit Union.
Not just for you.
We're with you.
When it comes to your home, it's time to say out with the ordinary. Bye-bye boring. So at Lifestyle Furniture, we're all about new style. Pop into our showroom to explore our brand new stylish and eclectic collections. From beautiful beds and sumptuous sofas to dazzling dining and living furniture and more. With free delivery and 0% finance subject to status. Lifestyle Furniture. It's new style. It's wow style. It's lifestyle. Find us at Snugborough Trading Estate, Union Mills.
Manx Utilities are currently replacing prepayment customers' key meters with new smart electricity meters in homes in Port Erin, Port St Mary, Ballabeg and Coolby. As a smarter pay-as-you-go customer, you can access our new Smarter Living app to keep an eye on your energy use in real time and to top up your credit quickly at a time that suits you. You can also top up at selected stores and via our website. To find out more about the changes, visit the Smarter Living page at manxutilities.im.
Sweet care. Again, the world's greatest celebration of Neil Diamond returns to the Isle of Man on Saturday, the 20th of August, starring Brooklyn Creed and the Salvation Band. The show takes you on a musical journey through Neil Diamond's glittering 50-year career. Hello again, Neil Diamond, Villa Marina, Saturday, the 20th of August. Book now at villagaiety.com or call 600-555. Your nation station, Manx Radio.
Just hate being without.
Sunday chill out. Chris Pearson.
Summer 2022 chill, even when the weather doesn't want to join the party. The Sunday chill out brings the Ibiza beach vibes to you between 7 and 9 every Sunday evening. Get in touch by emailing chill@manxradio.com with your chilled out tune choice or a suggestion for our 8:30 Sunday slammer.
Chris Pearson. The Sunday chill out. The Man in Line. Brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Pastor Mai, good afternoon. Thanks for joining Man in Line today. This coming Friday, we'll be looking at A-levels, exam results, the future for students, and if it's something that's in your household at the moment, something you want to share, by all means, get in touch. Tesco car park's a public place. Accessible by the public, it is lawful, says this correspondent, 910, to issue a ticket in these places. It may be a public place, but is it private land? I asked a traffic warden why he hadn't booked a DOI van that was 4 hours over the disc time at Walpole Avenue, where the car, when the car was booked. He told me they've been told to give advisory tickets only to government vehicles. So look how many DOI vehicles are illegally parked behind the sea terminal, says Charles. Surely that's... thank you. My understanding, says Keith, is that in private car parks like Tesco, ShopRite, the Palace Hotel, McDonald's, where the public is invited and allowed to use the car park, vehicles and drivers have to comply with all regulations like a driving licence, road tax, road fund licence, insurance, roadworthiness. For example, drunk drivers have been prosecuted for being in charge of a vehicle in a private car park used by the public. Good point, Keith. Thank you for making that one. I was always led to believe, says Terry, that a road or a car park is private only if you don't allow the public to use it. Otherwise, it becomes a private place. And Crystal says, how long does the common man have to register to register a vehicle on the Isle of Man? I've been seeing the same ones since COVID. Well, if the person's resident here, surely, is it 6 months? They've got to get it sorted out. The UK is considering number plates and insurance for bicycles. I think the Isle of Man should get there first and put any income towards cycle lanes, says G. Tommy's on now. Hi, Tommy.
Oh, hi, Andy. I'm just telling who's doing the calls today, Andy?
It's Howard. Howard's in charge.
Oh, God, I thought it was the fine tones of Howard. No, I want to relate the time I was done twice on the same day for the road tax, Andy.
Twice on one day? I thought you couldn't be done twice for the same offence.
Well, I had to do. I had to pay up, otherwise I'd have been fined again. I parked down the avenue. And I know I was guilty as charged, and I went down seeing but I had to move the car across the avenue, just a matter of 10 yards, to facilitate one of my neighbours. I couldn't believe it when I got back to find there was a second yellow ticket on. And no matter what my protestations and thing of not guilty, I had no chance to pay the two fines, Andy. It's crazy, isn't it?
When was this?
Oh, it must be about 10 years ago now.
That's bizarre to get nicked within how far, about 10 yards?
Oh, yeah, just across the avenue, whatever distance is Victoria Avenue is. And he must have known what he was doing, you know, and he must have known I hadn't, you know, I'd only moved there. I had to pay it, Andy, you know, and that is strange, isn't it?
Are you driving these days, Tommy?
Well, not at the moment. I'm not, Andy. I'd like to get back to driving. I'll make my own decision, and I'll see what happens, Andy, whether I want to drive or not.
Okay.
On to these roads, I think it may be a negative. I think, Andy.
Right. Yeah. Thanks for calling, all Tommy. Right.
Cheers, Andy.
Good Thanks. To hear from you. Okay. Thanks for being with us today on Man in Line. I believe that equipment, the ANPR, says John, can read the number in any form because they recognise UK. Cherished plates. It was interesting to hear what Howard said about the hyphen going. I wonder. Co-op Ramsey's got notices displayed about parking times, but you never see a warden at the co-op in Ramsey because hardly anybody displays discs. They could make a fortune. Go north, young man, woman, to the co-op in Ramsey, says Graham. I'm wondering who looks after Derby Haven Breakwater, says Ian. I was out on it last week. There are large holes in a number of places where the building blocks have just been washed away on Fort Island on the windward side. And there are lots of blocks on the walkway that have popped up and waiting to be washed away. Seems a good couple of storms might break the whole of Derby Haven Breakwater up, says Ian. Is that so? If you've got any photos, we'd love to see those. And what is happening? What is happening with the golf links? Whatever's going to happen. I know somebody got a ticket for partly parking on the pavement. They've been loading up a van. They had to go and pick something up. Didn't move the van. Got a ticket on a Saturday afternoon. Other cars in the next street, four of them, no ticket. And on months later, still are on pavements. You can't appeal about other people not getting ticketed. John and Sean in Douglas, not happy motorists. Anybody knows the story about long wheelbase vehicles parking on the prom, by the way? You see them all the time. Presumably, they'll get a ticket from the Scarlet Pimpernel. That's it. Thanks to Howie Kane. He's back tonight at 6 with Spotlight. He was on phones today. I'm Andy Wynn. He's back with another open line tomorrow.
WINT